Jesus Krishna. Okay, let's read this one.
Satsarup, if our society we say, Srila Prabhupada wants some to be sudra, Prabhupada, no, 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 I don't want. I want everyone to become Vaishnava. But because he's a sudra, it is not possible to bring him immediately to the platform of Brahmana or Vaishnava, therefore falling down. Therefore, system must be. But even if he remains a sudra, he's a Vaishnava.
Oops. This is the second part. Continue.
Hari, sorry. So we'd have to completely revise the whole system that we have now. Prabhupada. No. Whatever we have, that is all right. But we see by experience that they're falling down. There must be systematic. Why falling down? Because he was not fit for the position. Therefore, he has fallen. Better remain in his position and become perfect. Why artificially bring them? There is no need.
So this sort of artificially bringing them, this is one aspect of our modern world that we're living in, that, well, in theory, for instance, anyone in this country, any one of the 60 million people, can become a prime minister. Although I think you would have to be born also here in the UK to do that. Which is, sounds nice, but the fact is that everyone's not going to be, everyone can't be the prime minister, because every 4 years you only get one person who can become the prime minister, and so in our lifetimes it's only going to work out that probably there's going to be about 20 prime ministers at the best. 20 people are going to be prime minister. And it sounds nice, but is it actually nice? Is it nice that anyone in this country can become prime minister? Actually, anyone who's qualified to be a prime minister. And what are the qualifications to actually be a leader? Is it just because you, I don't know, went to Oxford and got a law degree, or where did they go, Cambridge? Eton, and you get a law degree. Just the fact that you're a lawyer, you're already disqualified from being a prime minister. So, but what are the qualifications for actually leading other people? One thing is that you know what the purpose of the human form of life is. You have to be like Yudhishthira Maharaj. That becomes a prime minister. So then if you really go by the standards, for instance, of Mahabharata, you may find that there's no one qualified in this country to be a prime minister. Because no one really knows. And no one knows how to organize society in such a way that people will actually be benefited and people will take advantage of what they're here for on this planet, which is actually self-realization. To know the difference between the body and the soul doesn't exist anywhere. And of course, Leo, what I was going to say is our society is such not only that you can be prime minister, but whoever anyone wants to be, whatever idea anyone in the school comes up with, they should be able to be that, whether it's an airplane pilot, or it's a nuclear physicist, or it's a brain surgeon, or who knows what. And it's chaotic. It's chaotic, therefore the result of that is a chaotic economy. Our economy is falling apart. It's a chaotic society. You can just see violence is on the rise constantly, what to speak of intoxication, indecent habits, and so on. And it's not just the immigrants who are doing it, it's the local. The immigrants are the ones who are getting all the attention, but there's a lot more going on with the locals, for instance, the football fans, than the immigrants. They do a lot more damage. So the idea that anyone should be anything, everyone should fulfill their full potential, it is illusion. And it's that illusion that Varnashram tries to actually dispel. People should just be what they are. People already have a nature. And they should just be what they are. And their natures already falls into a certain statistical pattern, which generally is a... Is this getting too controversial? Which is going to be a 1x4 statistic, or 1x4 multiplier. Just to be clear, it means that for every intellectual, you have 4 leaders. For every leader, you have 4 businessmen, and for every 4 businessmen, you have 4 labor types. So Shudra, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Brahman. The percentage-wise, that means you get 1% of the population are Brahmins, 6% are Kshatriyas, 16 or 17% are Vaishyas, and 75% are Shudras. Tasya karkaram apimam. Krishna says, I've already established this system. This is the balance which works properly. When everyone goes to university, which is really meant for Brahmins and somewhat for Kshatriyas, although they don't need the same type of education, things really go topsy-turvy. Who's been to university? All right, where did you spend most of your time? In the classroom? You did. Well, my friends didn't. The only people I knew, actually, who spent the time in the classroom were of Chinese and Indian origin. Those are the ones who studied. And everyone else was in the pubs, clubs, and everywhere else, having a good time. That was more or less the purpose of university. Why? Because they didn't belong there. So, Varnashram is not about anyone can be anything. Varnashram is everyone should be what they are. Because what you're really meant to be is not a materially successful person, you're meant to be a spiritually successful person. And generally, both of them, to concentrate on both, requires a superman. And since very few people are supermen, then better just concentrate on one thing. And the important thing is to concentrate on being successful in the spiritual realm. And therefore, this concept of living by what one needs. We'll do one more.
Very sorry. At this time, should we try to introduce in our centers or not? Prabhupada, always we shall try. Human society will be always there. We have to serve them. Bada upakar. We have to keep them in the right position. Very sorry. I just remember 2 or 3 years ago, there was a thing. A pamphlet came out about introducing the Varna Ashram system in the society, but actually nothing came of it. Prabhupada, yes, that time was not right. Now you can do something.
Okay, so we're here 40 years later, talking about whether we should do something. Our Krishna consciousness movement has one fundamental duty, and that's to do what Prabhupada wanted. Otherwise, we're not really in the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's what a member is, someone who does. And Srila Prabhupada placed a lot of emphasis on this. Prabhupada, in the later times, coming closer to his disappearance, repeatedly told his followers that actually I've only done 50% of my mission. The first 50%, what did Prabhupada do? He introduced deity worship, he traveled all over the world, he wrote his books, he made devotees, initiated devotees, he taught us to chant Hare Krishna, taught us in the practice of Krishna consciousness, but Prabhupada said, but I want to establish Varnashram. And actually that was what Srila Prabhupada came to do in the August of 1977. So Prabhupada's idea was that he was going to go to Gita Nagari, United States, and there he was going to actually teach how devotees should practice Varnashrama. Prabhupada only got as far as Bhaktivedanta Manor, and then he got so sick that he went back to Vrindavan and subsequently left his body. So now you can do something. So what we need to ask ourselves individually, as devotees, collectively, as a yatra, what are we doing? Okay, now I'm going to skip on some of these, and I'm going to put this microphone. Can you put this microphone onto the computer so you can hear what's going on? I'm going to show you something that it's a little stark, and this is Srila Prabhupada in the middle of October 1977. So this is 21st of October. This is 3 weeks. Yeah, you don't have to plug it in. Just put it beside it, that's all. Just so,
the sound will come up. And this is 3 weeks before Srila Prabhupada leaves the world. Okay, let's see.
Ready, neat, and clean. very early in the morning, if one brought in the to stay.
Hare Krishna. I could have preluded that by saying that this is Srila Prabhupada, if he's laying on his deathbed and translating Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what Prabhupada is saying is there in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, which was the last thing that Prabhupada translated for us. So you can see that even at this late date, Srila Prabhupada is talking about Varnashram. He's not getting very much into detail, but he's pointing out that Varnashram is the social system that is meant to bring people to the mode of goodness and keep people in the mode of goodness. Because in the mode of goodness, you can progress and you're safe. And in the lower modes, as Prabhupada says, it's very, very dangerous. Greed, lust, and in the world that we live in, these are the call words that everyone lives by. These are the things which sell consumer products. This is what advertising is all about. So how to live like that? And how to structure society in such a way that everyone systematically comes to that. Prabhupada doesn't just say chant Hare Krishna. It requires a certain social structure which facilitates and makes the chanting Hare Krishna easier. How you live, how you work together, how you educate. Education is so much the case. Here we have a school. Whether it's in the curriculum, but how the children come to the mode of goodness. Because they're very small, but still, teachers have a plan where children actually come to a safe position. Not safe in passion and ignorance, but safe in goodness. And when they're directed to that, in school, at home, in their whole lifestyle, then they also become progressively advanced Vaishnavas and have the opportunity to go back to Godhead. So we need Varnashram because Krishna, Acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada say we need it. We're a society for Krishna consciousness. Now we more or less function like a church. I mentioned this earlier. Devotees need behavioral guidelines. Just chanting Hare Krishna. A lot of people chanting Hare Krishna for many years, Prabhupada keeps saying over again, but they're falling down. Chanting Hare Krishna is enough, but you have to chant it in the right way. And if you don't chant it in the right way, then unfortunately what you're not doing is not enough. It's not that the mantra is not enough. We need to show the example to the rest of the world. Varnashram degrades into caste system, sure, it degrades into caste system. Societies have criminals in it. Krishna consciousness degrades to sahajaism. We don't do away with Krishna consciousness just because they're sahajas. But we do it the right way. Similarly, Varnashram has its right application, guna, karma, vibhagasha. Not instituting by birth, but actually by qualities and proper education. So this is where I'm going to leave it right now, and if you all have any questions, I'm going to sit down for that. Then we'll try to address those, and then after that, we can chant Hare Krishna. Anyone have any questions? Yeah, Kishore. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, half the world is women.
Yes.
It always was. And they were always there. So certainly women have a role, but the fact is that just as there are different roles for different men, there are different roles for different women, and there are different roles for men and women. So whereas in the last, especially the last 100 years, but even less than 100 years, the whole concept of women's liberation means that equality should be that women should do the same thing as men can do, and men should be able to do the same thing as women should do. And that's not varnashram. Not materially. Women can do the same thing as men and have equal rights as men in order to become liberated. They worship deities, they chant Hare Krishna, they do the very same thing. So of course women have a role. But here the real thing is that not only do women and men have different roles, but men have different roles. Different types of men have different roles, and different types of women have different roles. But Varnashram is all about men and women. Well, I'll show you when Narada, he gives one line, he gives a one shloka summary of all the varnas and immediately talks for about 10 shlokas about the duties of women. Because ultimately, in that sense, women are more important than men. Because women are most, are really the guardians of men's religious principles. And as Krishna says, Arjuna says, adharma bhivat Krishna pradushanti kula striya stisu dusheshu vajneya jayate varna sankara. So women's roles is extremely important, but I'm not talking about either men's roles or women's roles. It's really an extremely lengthy proposition what Prabhupada is wanting. I personally don't foresee that you're going to see a fully functioning varnashram structure in your lifetime, because social engineering takes a long time. This society didn't get to where it is overnight. It took a lot of kings fighting a lot of battles, killing each other, and determining that they're actually even going to have, humans are going to have rights. It took about 1800 years for the Christian world to recognize that women had souls. And then it took another 150 years before they actually were able to vote. So it takes time for society to actually manifest. And of course this is all manifesting a certain speculative structure. Our structure is there, but actually to both understand the principles and then apply those principles in practice, which are going to be different than Yudhisthira Maharaj's Varnashram today. It will be different. That will actually take time. So even I'm writing a book, it's not here, and but that's just one. And our plan, we're sort of trying to make the Hungarian Yatra a pilot project for Varnashram, is to actually write a book every 2 years, and there's a lot of subjects involved. So it will probably take, it will take quite a long time before even the theory is worked out, which doesn't mean that we can't start putting things into practice, and until the, I'm just going to go forward a little. Don't have to flash this. And until it's actually fully in place, and we put it in place. But what we are doing, just to give you all an idea, well, does that mean we don't have to do anything? Well, this is what we're doing now. Last year and this year. And Narada Muni, when he starts talking about Varnashram, He doesn't talk about varnas and ashramas. First he talks about human beings. And this is a brick wall. Brick wall is made of bricks. So as good as the bricks are, that's how good the wall is, and that's how good the building is. So Narada doesn't jump into men, women, varnas, ashramas. He first talks about what a human being is. Because varnashram is for humans. And if people don't conduct themselves as human beings, if they're not up to standard, then the social structure won't be up to standard. So in Hungary, this is what we've been concentrating on for all last year and this year. Narada here says 30 qualities every human being must possess. Pradyumna Prabhu can just read it out loudly in a minute. And these are things that you can, if you talk about, all right, how do we start introducing varnashram? Start examining whether you have these qualities, study up on them, and establish them. These are things that we're doing there in Gurukula, in Bhakta program, in temple, in with congregation, with counselor system, and so on. Go ahead.
These are the general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fast on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk. Considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, these are what this is where varnashram begins. As it begins, that one actually acquires these 30 qualities. 9 of them we're generally quite familiar with because they're the Navanga Bhakti, they're the 9 limbs of devotional service. But the other 21 are religious qualities. Truthfulness, cleanliness, truthfulness, austerity, mercy, cleanliness, these are the 4 legs of Dharma that starts off with, and then after that, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, controlling the mind and the senses, simplicity, satisfaction, and so on. This is where it starts. And, yeah, I mean, I'll show you what he says are the duties of women, but actually, as the duties of men, it'd be good if we had Vedic men before we worry about the Vedic women. And someone who actually perfects all of these, they're Vedic men, and then they're qualified to expect their wives to be Vedic women. So these are... this is a real starting point, a very practical starting point that everyone can work on. It's called character development, generally, or personal development. And there are so many personal development courses. And there's a lot to be found on all of these within our scriptures. Practically speaking, you can write books on each one of these. So knowing about it, cultivating it, perfecting these qualities, Then you, next step goes forward about varnashrama. Yes.
Starting with the children when they are young. So I'm just wondering, do aiming at preparing children mostly in an academic way, and the success of a school is mostly judged on whether or not the children go to university and achieve well academically. But as you were mentioning, originally that's only the Brahmanas who do that. So, how are there any thoughts? I mean, it's a huge topic, of course, but and it would take a lot of work, like you said. You know, it took ages for the Christians to do something. So, where do we start with education? Where do we start with the children? Even recognizing their qualities, their qualifications, what their nature is.
Well, you mentioned a lot of things. I mean, one is the children, the other is really the education. And, of course, this is a government-funded school, so you can't call the shots. And Prabhupada's concept of education was a Gurukul education, in which we establish what the constitution is, and we don't have to, and for which, for instance, this country is extremely good. And that facility is there in other countries as well. In some places, for instance, in Europe, you can't. France, Germany, you can't either homeschool, and you can't have these type of private schools. Not these type. This type you can, government funded. But we should, whatever the school is, the idea is that to make children successful in the outside world was what Prabhupada called slaughterhouse. I'm just repeating what Prabhupada said, because that's what the outside world is. It just chews people up and spits them out. So the adults should know, so why would you want your children to be in the same position? But because that's the system that goes on, we buy into that, and therefore we set up and facilitate that same type of thing. At least our business is to actually teach children values, which I think is something that takes place in our Avanti schools. And this is sort of a template for values, that they learn these things. Krishna consciousness is not like an overnight affair. It's not a matter of faith. I just believe in something and that's enough. If you taught Krishna consciousness in Vedic culture, what was the system? Brahmachari Gurukula Vasidanto Guru Hitan. So first of all, Gurukula is compulsory. Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmins, everyone has to go to Gurukula 20 years. It takes 20 years to become a human being. It takes 20 years to become a human being who knows the goal of life. And then thereafter, according to your nature, then you either do some profession according to your nature. And what's your nature? Your nature is something that's established by elders, parents, guru, Brahmins, people who know you at around the age of 15 or 16 years old, a little earlier for girls because they mature earlier than men, boys do. And at that time you either confirm or establish what someone's nature is, and then what's actually best. I've been here in the UK for 25 years. I know the wealthiest people in this country, who qualify as the wealthiest people in the world. None of them went to university. Some of them never even got into high school. So, and education does not necessarily equate with success. We've got a very educated world, but as people, people in general are failures. So it's a system of values that ultimately parents need to be responsible for. Is what is my duty as a parent? And what is my duty as a teacher? So Bhagavatam says, Namo Cheta Samapetya Mrityu. Your duty is to make sure that your dependents are liberated. that they're educated in technology, and ultimately modern technology is, modern education is just whatever the latest technological fad, that's what everyone gets educated in. So when I went to university, electronics was the fad. At that time, we had one computer in the university was the size of this room, and I could add faster than it did. But now, computer programming and so on is the fad, and therefore that's where the direction that everyone's going in. But by Varnashram standards, this is all Shudra life. People deserve more than that, but you really have to be willing to buy into the principles. Because this is Atmahana, this is a soul-killing world that we live in. It just destroys people. You may be successful, but ultimately you're a successful zombie. Am I getting too controversial? Which doesn't mean that skills, education wasn't there in Vedic culture. It was there. But it was certainly something that was selective according to the nature of the individuals. There was, if you read Mahabharata, you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you never hear about factories. You never hear about industry. They're very wealthy. They're very successful. In general, people are happy, except when Ravana and other people like that come around. But they're very well off. And they have industry, but they have cottage industry. Their economic system is not based around consumer items, which is what everyone is distracted by. 95% of what's being manufactured are not things that you need. They're superficial things that entertain little minds. So computer games and so many other useless things that are just a complete waste of time. And unfortunately, that's what's happening, is people are wasting their time. If they're not playing football games, or if they're not playing some kind of computer games, then they watch a football. Which is the most amazing thing. It shows the power of the material energy. You've got millions, tens of millions of people around the world, and they watch how these foolish people are kicking a ball from one end of the stadium to another, from here to there, and how this ball is going. And this is what life is about, kicking a ball from here to there. And then the people who are kicking the ball are getting paid thousands of times more than the poor people who are paying for the tickets. They're the heroes of the world. Arjuna is no longer a hero. Lord Ramachandra is no longer a hero. Football players, actors, singers, Shudras, and people who behave like less than Shudras are the heroes. It doesn't speak highly of society. Shambhihari wanted to be a football player. But anyway, he dropped the idea. Should we do kirtan? 8 o'clock. We can chant a little. So thank you very much. But if there's anything you find of value that I said, this I find is very valuable, something very concrete. These qualities, you'll find these written, it's in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, verses 8 to 12. And it's in terms of personal conduct, in terms of personal development, in terms of the qualities that invoke the mode of goodness. As Srila Prabhupada said, how to bring people into the mode of goodness. You cultivate these, you come to the mode of goodness. And of course, there are 21 qualities, and the other 9 are the 9 limbs of devotional service, chanting, hearing, remembering, and so on. So along with devotional service, we should cultivate how to be good people, because it's much easier for good people to become good devotees than it is for bad people. Bad people can become devotees. It's not a restriction, but it's much more difficult for them. It's easier to be a good devotee when you're a good person. And to be a good person, you need to be the mode of goodness. And this is what this is about. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.